Hi, I'm Naomi. I'm 37 and a new mum. And when I was on the fence about becoming a parent, all I heard was, but it'll be the best thing you ever do. Now I've got a baby, all I hear is, you think the sleep deprivation's bad, just wait till the terrible twos. Now, despite deciding to baby, there's still loads more to find out from both camps. So here's a podcast on the Secret Recordings Network, where I chat to baby wanters, baby rejectors, and everything in between to see why we decide to baby or not to baby. In this episode, I chat to Anthea, who really wanted kids and then really didn't.
I've dealt with a lot of women who've gone through IVF, and I wasn't prepared to do that. And then we just never really had any. And then by the time I hit 42, I was like, you know what? I actually really love my life.
And I'm joined on this journey by my sister and best friend, Camilla. We're back. We're back.
This is so nice. I love it.
I love that every season of To Baby or Not To Baby as well, I've aged a year. So I was 35 and didn't know whether I was having a baby or not. I was 36 and pregnant, and now I'm 37 and holy shitballs, I'm a mama.
I was going to say to you, I have also aged a year every time too.
Yeah, well, that's what will happen, innit, when the years
Yeah, I didn't really want you to feel so special about
So obviously it's a new year, it's a new dawn, it's a new day.
I mean, not really though, is it?
Well, yeah,
it's Groundhog Day.
It's Groundhog Day. Lockdown is upon us yet again. But let's talk about nice things. How was your Christmas? How was your New Year?
Do you know what? It was actually really nice. Like, obviously a bit different, but still really nice.
Good.
Great age for Chester as well.
Oh God, yeah, he's like, very cute.
Just for us watching him is like the best.
Yeah, I know, because you filmed all of it and sent us many, many videos.
Don't pretend you're not that mum now.
Oh, do you know what? I actually, some days go by and I feel guilty for not taking enough photos. And I have turned into that person where when she goes to bed at night, I then sit looking at the photos and videos of her like, oh, look how cute she is.
I knew you would.
No, but I think Christmas was nice because me, Dan, Eleni got to be at my mum and dad's with Nan and Grandad as well, which I feel like having Nan and Grandad and Eleni in one room for Christmas any year would have been nice, but particularly in the last year. So yeah, Christmas was good. And New Year, I actually think my midnight at New Year was my best ever midnight.
Oh, why?
So we put Eleni down to go to sleep. As always, bath time 6:45 PM, bottle 7 PM, 7:30. She is down and we're having a 3-course New Year's dinner, only she didn't want to go to sleep and she rejected the bottle that night. So that wasn't that much fun. But then after that, we had our nice dinner. And then at 11:40, who decides to wake up wanting a feed? We were like, oh, bloody hell, Len, you could have waited until just gone midnight so we could have had our, like, we're listening to some music, having a couple of drinks. I'd express plenty of milk so she could have a bottle. So I ended up in bed feeding her at 11:40, but then she just finished her feed as it was about to turn midnight. Dan came up bearing 2 glasses of rum. Aww. And brought the dog up as well because he was scared because there were fireworks and everything going off outside. And so we just sat on the bed in the dark. Eleni was awake, and you're not meant to chat to them or look them in the eye at that time of night, but I was like, it's New Year's Eve, like, that can go out the window. And so we just had a nice little chat. We put some nice music on. It was the birth playlist again. Great playlist, by the way. Not sure if I've mentioned that. And it was just nice. It was just lovely.
Oh, that is really nice.
Yeah,
that is lovely.
Now, speaking of New Year's Eve, you may have noticed on the To Baby or Not Instagram, at To Baby or Not, I had some lovely tipples. And over the festive season, you had some lovely tipples as well, Camilla. Obviously, pregnancy friendly.
Yeah, I did.
And now that, again, you may have noticed this on Instagram, now that we're officially influencers, we're not. But you might have seen the cocktails and mocktails that we were drinking and thought, bloody hell, I want me some of that. Well, in a bit, I'm going to tell you how you can get yourself some of that with a discount code. Who doesn't love a bargain? But for now, should we crack on?
Let's do it.
So first question I always ask is, please, can you introduce yourself and explain your parenting or not parenting situation?
Sure. Well, my name's Anthea. I am not a parent. I am married with a husband and we have... Well, I could say I'm a parent, but I'm a parent to a cat. So his name is Boswell.
You have fur babies.
Yes, a fur baby.
So you are not a parent, but one of the reasons that I wanted to speak to you is because you, at one point in your life, you thought you wanted to become a parent, and then effectively the switch flipped and you didn't.
Yep. That's definitely correct. I probably thought I would have been a parent until I was about 40 or 41-ish. It was around that time. I always imagined myself being a mum and having kids and all of that sort of thing. I'm not sure why. It was probably just ingrained into my human being as a female, and all the examples I saw in my life. But I knew that I always, well, I thought I always wanted kids. I thought I wanted three kids. I was one of two, and for some reason I thought three would be better. But it wasn't until I met my husband later in life. So we didn't get married until I was in my mid-30s. Sounds like I'm really old when I say later in life, but it's not that old.
But I get what you mean, because I think a lot of people go, oh, okay, well, by the time I'm 30, I'm going to be married and I'll probably have, like, and you do that stuff. So
yeah,
I get what you mean.
Yeah. So, and I never wanted to be a parent by myself. I wasn't, like, I've got friends who've had their own IVF babies themselves. I just, that wasn't for me. I wanted to do it with someone else. But then as time went on, my husband's never really wanted children. We spoke about it before we got married, and we said, so my three dropped down to one pretty quick, mostly because I was getting older and because he was not a fan. But he said he would do it. Like, he always said.
I was going to say, so like when you first met, because I do think, so I met my husband Dan when I was 33. And even at that stage, I feel like as a woman, you are aware of your biological clock and so you possibly have those conversations fairly early on of like, okay, so where are you at with the kid thing or not the kid thing? So how did you handle that?
We had quite a lot of conversation about it, because he was strongly no children and I was strongly children. Like it was verging on a make or break situation for our relationship. But we both... I considered dropping from three to one a massive downplay kind of thing, and him coming up to one was a pretty massive shift for his mindset as well.
Yeah.
And we did try, and we tried for like about 5 years, 5 or 6 years, and nothing happened. I was also not willing to do IVF, so I kind of thought if nature doesn't take its way, then maybe that's the answer that I needed. And I'm a nutritionist and a chiropractor, and I've dealt with a lot of women who've gone through IVF, and I wasn't prepared to do that myself. Like, just
that. Why is that?
I see the toll it takes on them physically and emotionally, and I wasn't prepared to go through that process.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, so I chose not to, and then we just never really had any. And then by the time I hit 42, I was like, you know what? I actually really love my life. The thought of having a child at that age then started to really just fatigue me, just the idea of it. I was like, maybe if I'd had them when I was 30 or 20 something, it would have been different. But I was like, I'm 40. If I have a kid now, they're not going to leave till they're at least 20. I'll be like 62 years old and I'll still have a kid at home. And like, I'll be 50 and have a kid in primary school. Like, I'm just, I don't know, it just was suddenly, I just suddenly thought, I just want to go and travel and see the world and do all these amazing things. I just don't think I want to do it anymore. So,
but how funny that you had that conversation with your now husband to the point where it was potentially a deal breaker.
Yep.
And you tried for 5 years. So this is not like maybe I want a kid. Do you know what I mean?
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. I definitely, to tell you the truth, our trying was probably more just not trying. So you know what I mean? Like, but I was trying to get the timing right and things like that. But it wasn't a desperate attempt for 5 whole years. There were months where it was more intentional than other months, but a girlfriend of mine recently sent me a message, and I haven't seen her for quite a while, like a couple of years in person, because she lives in another state here in Australia. And she said, "Oh, Anthony, I don't know how to tell you this. I might really upset you, but I'm pregnant." I actually was really happy and excited for it, and it actually just gave me a really big sigh of relief, because I was like, I'm actually not jealous. I thought I might have been, like, if it was still an underlying urge there or something like that, that I just sort of pushed down, I reckon it might have bubbled up at that time, but it just didn't. I was just thrilled for her. I mean, she's in her 40s and it'll be, you know, a later child for her, but...
So she'll have the kid at home in her 60s and she can deal with that.
I was like, go for it, Pen, if you want to do that. I prefer to be free.
So go back to the kind of the trying phase. Yep. How was that? Because I fell pregnant, and I know that this for some people it would be the dream, but I fell pregnant a lot quicker than I anticipated/ yep. wanted to almost. Yes. And I know that yep. sounds awful, because I know some people so desperately want a baby and have to try and try and try. So I feel like I missed out on the trying section. However, knowing other people who have done that for a long period of time, I know you were saying about the toll that IVF can take on somebody, both kind of physically and mentally. But I think mentally, even if you're not kind of actively super trying and turning it into the workbench, like you say, but if you are trying, then that still can take its toll emotionally, right? So how did you find it?
I had months where it was horrible. Some months I didn't care so much because I just needed a break. So I sort of switched myself off, if that makes sense, like emotionally. But other months it was really hard, and I think probably the hardest thing for me, it just took a toll on our relationship more than anything. Ever since my mind switched a couple of years ago now, our relationship has been so much better, unbelievably better, because during that time I would get angry if he didn't want to do, like, go to the workbench at that time, or like, not, I'm the sort of person, my parents are both British as well, actually, I tend to restrain all my emotion and lock it all in. And on the he doesn't, he's not English. So I sort of just internally bubbled away. It wasn't fun at all. Like, I'm quite good at pushing it down, and I get a lot of joy out of other things in my life, like my work and stuff like that. So I could, it wasn't like it was the end of the world, but it also was just constantly stressful. There's just this level of stress that's just always there. You're either always trying, you're always waiting, and then you find out it's not pregnant again. And then you try, and then you wait, and then you're not pregnant again. And it just goes over and over, and it's just this constant underlying worry.
And I imagine as well, was there an element of the fact that you maybe wanted it more than your husband wanted it?
Yeah, definitely. So I was essentially going through it myself, really. He wasn't being actively happy when I was sad. It was, but I was definitely the one who...
That would be a bit harsh.
Yeah, that's a little bit hard. But it was definitely more me, myself, being emotional about it. And he probably on the inside having a little party, but not letting it out. But
Camilla, you have baby number two pending not long now. And I know that for a while you weren't sure whether you were going to go for number two or not, but did you have a, I'm going to be this person and when I grow up I'm going to have this many kids?
Yes, always two, always.
Really?
Yeah, it was always two until I had Chester, which sounds awful. And it's not like he was a terrible baby. I think when I first had him, I just found it so difficult that I was like, I don't know if I could do it again. Whereas as you find your groove, then you go, okay, well, maybe, yeah, actually, maybe I could.
No, I remember during pregnancy, I was like, just so you know, I can't do this again. I won't be doing this again.
Exactly.
And Dan's analogy for this is, if you've got a mate who is terrified of flying, and you're on a plane together, you're going on holiday, and on the plane, when your mate is sitting there shitting himself about the flight, you wouldn't turn to him and say, oh my God, we should book another holiday now, shouldn't we? We should do that. Because they're going to be like, are you fucking joking me? I'm terrified. No. However, you wait till they're on the beach on the holiday, sipping on some cocktails, having a lovely time. Then you say, hey, we should book another holiday. And by that point, they've forgotten about the terrifying flight. And they're like, this is a great plan. Let's do it. So I think Dan's hoping that at some point in our parenting journey, we're going to get to that metaphorical beach. But let me tell you, I ain't there yet.
No, and I'm still on the terrifying flight.
Was there a specific turning point, or do you think it was just like a slow burn?
I think it was actually slow burning, but there was distinctly a day. It was my birthday when I suddenly went, no, nah, that's it, I'm gone. Like, that's too much now. Because I think every year was a marker, so every birthday was another marker. And that had been happening since my 30th birthday. I hated my 30th birthday. Well, I didn't hate it. I actually planned a massive party so that I would have a great time. But because I knew I was going to hate it otherwise.
Do you know what? I feel like I had a real issue with 30 in that I had in my head, oh, well, by the time I'm 30, I'll be married and I'll have kids. And that is just such a load of bullshit anyway. And that did not happen for me. And actually, by the time I was 30, a lot of my best friends were married and were having kids and I wasn't. So I did the kind of, right, well, screw that. I'm going to do the absolute opposite. So I went to Vegas and I threw a massive birthday party. But equally, outwardly, I looked like, yay, I'm super excited about 30. But actually, inside, I was a bit, well, I am not doing what everybody else seems to be doing. So I'm going to have to, I'm like overcompensating with this other stuff.
That's exactly my story. Same thing, because I was like, some of my friends knew and they were like, but Anthea, you own a house and you have a business and you do all these things. I'm like, yeah, but that's not what I actually want. I want a partner and I want a family. Like, that's where I was at 30. And then at 40, I still didn't have the kid. I had the partner, but I didn't have the kid. So I had to throw another big 40th. And that was good too. and then that was that. Between the 41 and 42 is the slow burn, and then 42 birthday, done. Like, change. And oh my goodness, it's been so freeing. It's completely different after that moment. I don't know what that moment was, but that birthday clicked over, gone.
So you internally have this epiphany. How did you then tell your husband, who I imagine was pretty chuffed at the news?
Yeah, he probably was. We were actually going out for a walk, and in the middle of the walk, I just said, I'm done. That's it. We're like, no point trying anymore. You can wear as many condoms as you like all the time. It's all fine. You can go get a chop if you like. It's fine.
And was it in a kind of, was it in a, I'm done, in a sad way kind of way?
No, I'd already made the switch in my head, obviously, at some point. And I was like, just need to let you know kind of moments. Like, yeah, it was I wish I could tell you that there was a great story of a flip, but there wasn't. It was just like one day and it's I don't know what happened, but it was just the desire was gone.
One of the things that I find really interesting with the kind of urge and the want to have children is that I think, yes, for some people 100% it's there. Like it is a complete animal instinct type thing and they have to fulfill this thing. But I actually don't think it is there for everyone. And I think the world kind of makes you think that that's the path that we ought to tread, because that's kind of the general path that everybody else is treading. And so I think then as you get older, you do start to go, hang on a minute. Do I actually want that, or do I just want to tick, like you say, tick the box? Because you look around and you go, oh, well, you know, I've done this. I've done this with my life. I've done these things. And then that's the next thing.
Yeah. And I think that probably was my story earlier. I do feel like I instinctively wanted one. Like, I remember feeling that, like that urge, if that makes sense, like that instinct urge. But it did fade as the years went on, and I think by the end I just felt like I hadn't succeeded in what I thought I should have succeeded in, which part of that was having a family. But I have two distinct groups of friends, so I do have a really close group of three of us, two girlfriends, who none of us have kids, and I think that makes a massive difference for me. Like, if all of my friends had children, it'd probably feel quite different than having a group of girlfriends that I can meet that don't have kids. So, and we're all about the same age, and one of them has said she's never wanted children, like she's the opposite end of the spectrum, and the other one would love kids and has just never met the right person and also doesn't want to do it on herself, by herself. So, like, but at least I've got that group of friends that don't have kids, which I think makes a massive difference.
I have been there before I met my husband, even then, with my friends with kids, feeling like, and I would do this thing. I've joked about it before. I would do this thing where they'd be telling a story about their kids and I've got a dog. So I'd be like, oh, well, actually this one time my dog, he was sick on the carpet and blah, blah. Like, because I felt like I didn't have anything to bring to that party. And now I'm the other side of it. Now I'm in the baby party and I find myself just talking about baby shit all the time, and I'm like, oh my god, I've become that person.
But I understand, because that's your world or their world at that time. Like, you can't be a parent and not talk about your kid. Like, and I love kids. Like, I love hanging out with the babies and stuff. I also like giving them back. That's the thing now. I used to think I wanted to keep them, but now I want to return them when they've got a sticky nappy. When I was younger, I used to even like changing their nappies and taking them to the loo. Now I'm like, oh, I'll go see your mum or your dad. Like, I'll play with you until you smell too much and then I'll send you back.
You know, you say there, like, when you were younger, that you kind of, you enjoyed that stuff. And when you had those kind of urges, those wantings to become a mum, like, why did you want it?
And I have never really analysed myself for that, because probably most of the time that I actually really wanted it, I probably didn't have, like, it. Because I didn't meet my husband until I was over, like, nearly 35, and we didn't sort of start trying until after then. I reckon by then I was already like, oh, this has to be quick, and it became more of a I should do thing. Because those days when I liked changing nappies and playing with kids, I would have been in my 20s, like when my friends were having kids, which was mid to late 20s and early 30s. So I just didn't have anyone at that stage to even go down that path with.
How long is it now since the 42nd birthday, I'm done?
So I'm now 44 and a half, so 2.5 years.
Okay. And in that time, have there been any moments of wobble where you've thought, shit, did we stop trying too soon? Should I have made that decision?
Definitely not yet anyway. And I don't think it's going to come, because I'm getting older and older. So I really don't think – I think the wobbles all happened whilst I was still in that sort of 5 or so years of trying and not trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's so good. To go your whole life up to the age of 42 thinking that you wanted children and doing everything that you could do within your power to make that happen.
Yeah.
And then to just go, okay, I'm done now. And actually, not only am I done, I'm not kind of resigned to the fact, I'm actually happy. Because I noticed when I contacted you, you are child free and not childless. I don't want to get the two mixed up there, because they're two kind of very different things. That's why I kind of find it so interesting, because I feel like I was potentially on the cusp of that switch being flipped to go, I don't know if I want this anymore. I think for me, actually, one of the reasons why I maybe thought I didn't want it was fear, and fear of not being able to have a baby, and knowing how difficult that might be, and also fear of, like, what if I have it and I'm not good enough to be a mum. It's got all the insecurities, I think, kind of niggled away at me. And now I've had the baby and I'm like, holy shit, I don't know if I'm good enough to be a mum.
I think you were doomed for that anyway. I think every mum has that feeling, don't they?
Totally. Yeah. So I think it is so incredible that you came to that decision and have had 2.5 years and hopefully the rest of your life of going, this is absolutely the right decision and this is the right life for me.
Yeah. I've been like that all my life. I tend to be one of those people, I don't look back. So once I've made a decision on something, I love it. Like, I'm just one of those people. I've done that for everything. Like, you know, if I buy a car, I might decide, like, it might take me a while to make a decision. Like, I bought a new car last year. It was part of my, I'm now child free, so I can start spending my money. And so I bought myself this Jeep Wrangler, which everything cuts. I call it my Lego car because I can take off the roof and the doors and the tilt down the window. I can have a, you know, I can build it into something and then take it apart again. But once I've made up my mind, it's the best thing ever. And I've always been like that. So I'm not sure. I feel like it's a bit of a self-protection thing because I once I make up my mind on something, I don't look back.
Now, we'll get back to Anthea in a sec, but very important, booze. Now, I am aware that I am saying this because, oh my God, when I was pregnant, bloody hell, did I miss having a drink? So if you are pregnant and you're like, damn it, bitch, don't talk about the booze, then it's okay because we've got you covered as well. We have teamed up with Drinks at Yellow Yacht, which are drinksatyellowyacht.com. And basically, you may have seen over Christmas, they sent me delicious cocktails for New Year, baby. And they also sent you some lovely mocktails, Mill.
They did. In a wonderful box.
Oh my God. And did you get fancy glasses as well?
Yeah. And honestly, I can't even tell you how excited. I wanted to run back out to the postman and say, I'm an influencer now. look at this. I get sent this shit for free.
But the beauty of it is you get sent an amazing box with some swish glasses in there, the recipe, all the ingredients you need to make your own fancy drinks with or without the booze, depending on your sitch. Maybe you're doing dry jam, that kind of thing. And you can just make it in your own kitchen. You don't need any faffy bar tools. Over 18s only, please. And booze not to be consumed when pregnant. But we enjoyed them and they were lovely. And we would love you to enjoy them as well. So, and this is where we become real influencers, sis. We got a discount code, baby.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's not baby, it's to baby. So if you would like 10% discount on your order over £30, all you need to do is quote to baby or one word, T-O-B-A-B-Y, to baby, at checkout from now until Easter Sunday. Bob's your uncle, 10% off. You've got cocktails at home. We can't go out at the minute. Lockdown's terrible. Cocktails at home. You can't go out, you're sad. Camilla's there like, I just wanted to go to my hypnobirthing class. She's got her mocktails at home, guys. Day saved. If you want your drinks with a discount, www.drinksatyellowyacht.com. So how has 2.5 years of actively being child-free been?
Actually been really awesome. So actually one of the things that did happen when I told my husband that's it was I said, but I do have a few things that I want to do with our lives, like, because if we're not going to have kids, like, you kind of see the picture of what your world would look like if there was children in it. And I said, because there's not going to be any children, like, I want to make sure we do more travel time and that we spend time with my nieces and nephews and my goddaughters so that, like, we have some family time. I just didn't want to see us turn into old grumpy people who still live in our house and don't do anything fun. So I was like, if we're not going to put kids in the scenario, let's make it be purposeful about making life fun, take advantage of the fact we don't have children. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If the adventure isn't kids, let's make the adventure something else.
Yeah, exactly. Because that was my probably a big fear, was to just have the same life going round on repeat.
So aside from telling your husband, presumably you have friends and family who also knew that you wanted to become a mum and that you then have changed your mind. Were other people almost like sceptical of that or...?
Not my good friends. Like, my close friends were probably quite understanding. Like, they didn't say anything negative, that is. They were like, well, my girlfriends that don't have kids were like, well done, you've decided. Like, you know, my friends with kids were like, by then their kids were getting older, so they're like, you've probably made the right decision. We wish sometimes we didn't have kids either. So yeah. There's only probably my husband's family were probably disappointed. They haven't said it directly, and I actually, to tell you the truth, only told my sister-in-law, his sister, this year, because I was a little bit worried about what the response was going to be.
And how was it?
It was okay. Like I feel like she held back and didn't say what she really wanted to say. But in saying that, his family of Eastern European background, so they love family. They're very family orientated, but they've also had their kids a lot younger in life. So my sister-in-law is only just a couple years older than me, and she's a grandma. So,
whoa.
Yeah. So because they start their families a lot younger, so
yeah,
she kind of also understands that I'm only a couple years younger than her, and to have a baby would be hard. Do you know what I mean? Like, because she's just looking after grandkids, so
yeah,
and only a few years older. So in a way, she kind of gets it from that perspective. She can't imagine having a kid herself now, so she understands where I'm coming from. I think she misses the idea that she's not going to have nieces and nephews, because we do have a very small family. So he's only got one sister and his parents, and I've only got one brother and a mum. So that family circle does shrink when you don't add to it.
Yeah.
So, and my mum doesn't. I'm so glad my brother had kids, because I think she would be disappointed if she didn't have grandchildren at all, but she's already got grandkids. So,
yeah, I was going to say, yeah. did you feel guilty then if that was kind of the, you know, like if you got that vibe from his family, was there any element of you feeling like, oh, you know, I'm letting them down here by not doing it? Because I think I would have felt that had I not had a baby.
They also already, like, his parents are also great grandparents. So I kind of feel like if no one had had children yet, maybe I might have felt more obliged. But
which is never a reason to do it, by the way.
No, I don't want to have children because I feel obliged to have children.
Yeah.
And in fact, to tell you the truth, my back goes up a little bit with his on that side of the family. Like I kind of want to just assert my power. So I probably would have just stuck to my guns and said, just because you want me to, now I really don't want to. I'm a little bit like that in nature. So.
The stubborn streak.
Yes, I can be a bit stubborn. I'm very nice about it. I just...
The question so often comes up of, oh, so do you have kids? Like, how do you handle that?
I mean, most of the times I just say, no, I don't have kids. And I think one of the mistakes I probably made earlier was that I actually, had a business, sold the business, and then to all my patients, it was a chiropractic business, I wrote them a letter saying, I'm selling the business, I'll be working on, but I will be leaving because I'm hoping to start a family. So then it's 4 years later now, and I'm constantly still telling patients, we've now decided we're not going to have kids. And some of them have been very, like, initially some of them were like, oh, have you tried this? Have you tried that? And I was like, no, we've just decided we're not going to have kids. So I had sort of had to repeat that story multiple times.
Yeah.
I stupidly told 300 clients that I was going to have a family.
Yeah.
Oh, that was stupid.
That's one of the reasons that I wanted to speak to you, is because I do think it is, well, I say it's rare to come across somebody who did want and then didn't want. Maybe it's not so rare, but maybe some people just don't kind of put it out there and talk about it. But thank you for talking about it.
Oh, very happy to. It's something that I've just sort of started speaking about more recently, because I think I want people to be able to know that they're allowed to change their mind. Like, you don't have to stick to a story because you thought that originally. Like, I don't see a problem with changing your mind. So I want people to be able to know that it's fine not to have kids and to enjoy life without having kids. I don't think there should be a guilt around it or just because that's the story you have to fulfill it. Like, yeah, if you don't want them, don't have them.
U-turns everywhere.
Boris, oh my God.
Boris Johnson. Anthea.
No, but I genuinely was fascinated that, particularly because she was so adamant that she wanted three kids that she nearly didn't end up with the guy who she ended up with, to then go, okay, I just don't want them anymore.
I think it just, like, listening to her, for me, it just sounded like a really healthy process. Well, I say healthy processes. It was obviously really tough for her at the time of, like, kind of not trying but trying. But I suppose over that length of time, you begin to come to terms with. And like she said, she loves her life and she enjoys her life. And I suppose it works both ways, doesn't it?
Yeah. And do you know what? It's really bad. And I feel like I shouldn't admit this out loud. But you know, when I speak to people like that, I do afterwards go, your life sounds great while I'm chained to the sofa with a baby on my nipple all day long.
Yeah, but don't you think there's plus points for both sides?
Totally.
There definitely is.
100%. And I say that not genuinely thinking, God, I wish I'd gone down that route. But I do hear from people who, when they have chosen to go down the route of not having children, I think, all the stuff you can do. Oh, I'd kill for a day in your shoes now.
So it actually made me a little bit sad when it was the bit where you were talking about your 30th going to Vegas and your party.
The overcompensation.
Yeah. But it makes me a bit sad because I can remember two things. I can remember at your actual party, you being a bit upset, which was here in the UK. And then also when we were in Vegas, being a bit upset because you just had this thing in your head that, like, because you'd not met anyone, you weren't good enough.
Yes.
It made me really mad and really sad.
I remember because you wrote me a letter.
I did.
And I feel like I can't remember exactly what the letter said, other than the gist of it was, you are absolutely good enough and it will be okay. And you don't need to have met someone by the time you're 30 and you will meet someone because you're awesome.
I think I was maybe writing the letter to myself as well, because I was still single as well at the time.
Do you know what? Isn't it such a load of bull, though? And obviously, part of that feeling is entirely self-imposed.
Yeah.
But part of it is because I suppose it's a bit society, but it's a bit, if all your peers are doing something, all your mates are doing it, and you're not, and you're that person who's, you know, I talked with Anthea about that, you know, the conversations of like how I've accidentally turned into that person where I feel like, oh my God, all I talk about is the baby. But I remember all of my friends having babies and they'd have these endless conversations about breast pumps and feeding and the maxi cosy and the sleepy head and all this stuff that I just was so out of. I was just like, I can't. I have nothing.
It's kind of the same with them having a partner as well. Like, you know, all of my really close mates have been with their other halves for forever. And like, so when you're like having rubbish relationships that don't last very long and they're there, you know, chatting about good, nice, coupley things, it's tough.
It is tough.
Also, let's not forget that you were actually, I'm sure this is fine. I'm sure Dan's over it. Which Dan?
Which one?
Oh no! Yeah. So Neo, you don't mind me saying this, do you?
No.
So you were engaged when you were like 23.
Yeah.
And so I suppose, I always thought especially when you used to get upset about it, I used to think, well, actually, if in your head at 23 years old you think you're going to be getting married then, and you're settled and you've got a house and all of that kind of stuff, you probably do think you're going to be further down your life path than where you are. And I think that's why you put so much pressure on yourself, maybe.
I think as well, because I don't want this to come across in a smug way, so I really hope that it doesn't. But I think because I was a relatively, like, I did well at school. I was a relatively high achiever at school. I was if you work hard to get something, then you achieve it, done. And so, but a relationship, you can't work hard to achieve it. It's not like a bloody exam that you can revise for. You either meet someone and it works, or you meet someone and it doesn't work. But I really struggled with, like, you know, I had a, you know, I did well at school and then I went and did this career and in radio and blah, blah, blah. But a relationship, I just couldn't do it. So it felt like I was failing. I felt like, oh my God, I haven't known particular failure in my life before, whereas this is a thing where I'm like, there must be something wrong with me because everyone else can do it but I can't do it,
whereas I was just did this massive self-pity because I was shit at school and shit in relationships, didn't know what I wanted to do. Oh my God, good job I found it later in life.
Well, we did find it in the end, but do you know what the beauty of this podcast is? If you want to have a baby, you don't need to meet someone in order to do it. That is coming up on this season, so watch this space. Follow my our journey and tell us about your own on social media. We are at To Baby or Not. If you rate and review this podcast, not only will it massively help us out, it really will. Please do it. But it will guarantee that your life will be perfectly happy, purposeful and fulfilling, kids or no kids.
Next time on To Baby or Not To Baby.
He's a gay guy. And so for him, he always needed a female figure to have a baby with. But I needed to get out of the mindset of maybe I would meet somebody. Maybe this isn't the way that I'd consider doing it.